going to be chatting with someone from the Sierra Club about this toxic coal ash and what that portends in our last segment. But first, I want to welcome to the Green Front Amy Harwood. She is with a wonderful organization I've been aware of, but I don't think I've ever had the pleasure to interview anyone from, the Center for Biological Diversity. Amy is a campaign coordinator, and I was particularly interested in their latest campaign, and that is 7 billion and counting. And of course, it was just a few days ago on Halloween. Scary number to hit, 7 billion, the world population. I believe they were expecting a baby in India to have been the 7th billionth person born. And we're going to find out what is scary about that. What does that mean exactly? How are we going to support all these people with an ever-growing appetite for consumption unless the world economy completely collapses? That could be a heck of a hard way to stop this growth. Amy Harwood, thanks for joining me.
Great to be here, Betsy.
So how long ago did you decide that you needed to build a campaign around this milestone of 7 billion humans on the planet?
Well, we've been working on this campaign for a couple years now, actually, working on trying to connect population growth to the massive plant and animal species extinction that we're witnessing on the planet right now. And we did that by starting a project called the Endangered Species Condoms Project, where we were using volunteer distributors around the country to hand out condoms that are wrapped in packaging that show pictures of endangered species on them. And we started this about a year and a half ago, and it was a huge success. It just took off. There were so many people interested in using this outreach tool. And so when we learned that the population was going to be reaching 7 billion and there would be a lot of attention around this global benchmark, we decided it was really a great opportunity for us to get involved in and join some of the other groups that were raising awareness about this day. So we've been handing out more of those condoms and also doing some other actions to raise awareness about the connection between population growth and species extinction.
What is happening to world population, especially in this country? Are we slowing the growth?
Well, it's a good question, and it's a fairly complicated one. I think a lot of people in the United States don't understand that we actually currently have the third largest population in the world, second to India and, or China and India. And so I think a lot of people in the United States think of this issue as something that other people are dealing with. And what we're hoping to do is make people aware that the United States is very much a player and very important in this conversation. There is, within the United States, population is starting to slow, and there are predictions that we will be able to lower our fertility rate. But a lot of those projections are based on the way that other countries have gone. And in fact, the United States is a little bit of an anomaly in terms of how long we have kept our fertility rate so high. It's one of the highest amongst the rich countries. And that's another thing that I think a lot of people in the United States don't really understand, is that we are part of this, the population growth that's happened globally.
Now, if the average birth rate in this country is now 2.0, there's an interesting study published by the National Academy of Sciences, and it shows that if we could slow our country's population growth rate to 1.5 births, though I don't know how you have 1.5 children, that could result in a 10% drop in greenhouse gas emissions by middle of this century and a 33% drop by the end of the century. Now, again, without cutting a child in half, this is a real important set of numbers because it really shows the direct connection between each child born and, of course, always to much celebration for the most part in this country, whether they're planned or not. Yet there's a dark side to each person being added to the mix.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that point up, and I think that's the way that we're seeing climate change and some of the effects of greenhouse gases having on the survival of species and plant and animal species and biodiversity, which frankly provides the quality of life that we get to have on this planet. The impacts that that's having are so dire that to us, you know, exactly what you just said is some of the most important things that we need to be raising awareness about when we're talking about climate change and sort of the future of environmental work. And I think that people are starting to get those connections. And one of the things that we really hope with with efforts like the endangered species condoms is that we can start talking about this issue, which has been a very difficult issue for people to talk about for many years, and we're hoping to really, you know, change the way that the conversation has been going and get more people involved. We are, the Center for Biological Diversity is one of the few groups that's really taking this issue on, but we certainly don't want to be the only one. We're really hoping to kind of come out as leaders and get other environmental groups to start making these connections.
Yeah, why has population been sort of the green hush story?
Yeah, I mean, I think the history of it is difficult to get beyond and shouldn't be forgotten. There certainly has been, you know, many times in world history where population control efforts have not been in line with social justice values and making sure that, you know, people understand that just empowering women to use family planning services and then making sure that those services are funded and available to them, you don't need to control people. You don't need to control their decision making. A lot of the times we've seen that that actually does give people the chance to make those decisions and make them in service of, you know, a better environment and a more sustainable population. So
if
I think it's just that history has been difficult, you know.
Mm-hmm. And that needs to change, because if half the pregnancies in the United States alone are unintended, as this article says, then think of all the unintended, you know, environmental consequences.
Yes. Yeah, I think just starting with that number alone is a really good goal, you know, just making sure that those pregnancies are, people are making those decisions.
While we're talking numbers, you said that the United States were third now behind China and India in terms of population, but what about that figure that I love to state when I need to get someone's attention on why we're not sustainable, especially in this country? I say, you know, we in the United States are 4 or 5% of the world's population. We're using 25% of the world's resources and creating 25% of the waste in every way, solid waste emissions, et cetera. Does that fly with what you're saying? Are we still a relatively small percentage of the world population, even though our ecological footprint is way out of whack? Have those numbers changed? I've always wondered if anyone's bothered to go back and update that equation.
Yeah, I'm not sure how, you know, if I can update those myself, but I, you know, the concept is certainly still true. And, you know, I think, frankly, it's exactly right. Consumption and particularly issues of overconsumption within the United States are absolutely essential to partnering with conversations about population growth. They're very much linked, and the Center for Biological Diversity, like a lot of environmental groups, has been working on that consumption question for many years and trying to make sure that people are aware of what the impacts of those consumption decisions are. And I think what we're trying to do is make sure that as we have those, as we make those efforts, that we're also linking population in with that work, because certainly a lot of people, especially in the United States, are starting to get better awareness about what their impacts are, particularly considering your last guest. It was really interesting listening to, you know, talking about car purchasing decisions. I mean, that's a perfect example. Like, people are starting to have those awareness, and so we want to make sure that as that's happening, we're also kind of weaving population issues in mm-hmm. into that as well.
And we will get back to endangered species in a moment, but back to that study from the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, some figures here also worth repeating, and that is that each American child generates 7 times as much carbon dioxide over time as one child in China and 169 times as much as one in Bangladesh. Reducing car travel, recycling, and making homes more energy efficient would have a fraction of the impact on emissions that reducing the birth rate would, it said. So, you know, that is really the key, is our footprint is, you know, way out of whack with the rest of the world, and if the rest of the world is trying to catch up with our consumptive capitalistic ways, we are in trouble, are we not?
Yeah.
And certainly,
yeah.
Though, the creatures and the endangered species does not bode well if we keep on populating and consuming.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that the statistics like that are really great for, again, bringing this issue into a very localized and almost a personal decision-making element. And one of the things that we did with this campaign is we launched a map on our website, which is biologicaldiversity.org, where you can actually put your town into a little search engine, and it will generate a list of endangered species that live in your county or live near you. And for us, I think finding ways to bring these impacts as close to people as possible and really connecting those things is what's going to maybe have the most impact for people. And so that's been really interesting to see how our activists, volunteers, and the people who are distributing the condoms are kind of using tools like that to start these conversations in a meaningful way.
Now, given the climate we're in politically, media-wise, crazy things going on being said on national television about, you know, abolishing the EPA and climate change is a hoax by Al Gore, it's hard to imagine how the fate of the endangered spotted owl or whatever the species may be is going to get, you know, the attention it needs from, you know, the President of the United States, for instance. And yet there probably is some need for some kind of political leadership.
Yes, I mean, I think that's actually a great point, and one of the reasons why last week we sent out an email to our supporters letting them know about recent efforts by Congress to defund the UNFPA, which is the agency, the United Nations agency that funds a lot of the family planning services that are occurring and growing worldwide. And it would be one of the first times under a Democratic president that that agency would be defunded by the United States. And so, you know, what we've been trying to do is make sure to educate our supporters on what they can do at that policy level to make sure that, you know, good solutions are actually getting in place. And I think it's also reminding people, again, what is the responsibility and the role of the United States in this issue, both here in our own, you know, homes, but also globally.
Yes, and there is a role, I think you believe, that for the environmental groups to be more vocal on population as a problem and need to get over any squeamishness or concern about political backlash. I think we're almost past that point with all the craziness going on, the polarization going on. We just need to kind of tell it like it is. Subtlety is not working.
Yeah. Well, I certainly hope we see more groups joining us. You know, I think that there is an opportunity, particularly seeing how many great articles and op-eds and information that's been put out in this past week over around the 7 billion mark. There's a lot of new thinking that's happening on this issue, and I think, you know, being concerned about the past, we can't forget that, and it's incredibly important, and I think there's opportunity for reframing this issue in a meaningful way.
Well, thank you for the good work you're doing there, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention somewhere in this show, so this seems as good a place as any, the report that is expected soon from the International Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, saying, in fact, that global warming is causing more weather extremes, and that these freakish weather disasters, like what we saw, the pre-Halloween snowstorm on the northeast coast, to the beautiful weather we're enjoying here. We just get nicer weather. That's our blessing here in the Bay Area. It's like in the 70s, and it's November. That's a little bit unusual, but, of course, that's nothing compared to the floods that are going on in Thailand and the continuing drought situation in the southeast of this part of this country, most notably in Texas, where, of course, the governor who would be president doesn't believe in global warming. So hopefully this upcoming study is going to finally put to rest anyone who would be a deniosaur and just get them, you know, out of the way, because we need to get on with the solutions and stop arguing about, you know, supposed debates. So thank you for the great work you're doing at the Center for Biological Diversity. What's your website if people would like to learn more about these issues we've discussed?
You know, the fastest way to find out issues is to go to 7billionandcounting.org. And if people are interested in our Endangered Species Condom Project, we have a website, endangeredspeciescondoms.com.
Sounds great. Thanks, Amy Harwood. And when we come back, we're going to be speaking with Drew Grand with the Sierra Club about the implications, both ecologically and politically, of this latest coal ash spill, toxic, in fact, in Wisconsin, along Lake Michigan. You are listening to Green Front. I'm Betsy Rosenberg, and I will be right back with more green news and views you can use.